Hi there, everyone, and welcome to the 18th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco. We are coming to you from Great Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and today is May 3, 2007. Today's show is going to be based on a comment by Jim Hine wanting to know a little bit about filtration in photography. And filtration is a bit of a complex subject, but I'm going to do an introductory podcast about it today, and hopefully you'll be able to get some good tips. As always, Jim's comment was greatly appreciated, and all comments are appreciated. So if you're able to leave comments, I'd love to answer them. Give me suggestions, criticisms, what have you. You can do it straight from the blog, photography.ca/blog. You could do it through the forum on photography.ca. Just make your way to the forum. Or you can just email me directly, photography.ca@gmail.com, and it will be my pleasure. So let's get into it right now. Filtration is such a complex topic. It's so complex. It's so in-depth. You can use filters for so many different applications and things that I'm only going to touch upon it really quickly. But let's get into it. So until we went digital, filters were primarily used because film and your eye see the world in two different ways. Regardless of the lighting situation, our eyes are the most or one of the most magnificent instruments on the planet. And it doesn't matter if the light is coming from the sun, or if it's coming from a lamp, or if it's coming from a flashlight. Our eyes basically make the scene neutral. So they make it appear to us as though the light is white. So let's get into it. Why do we need filters in photography at all? And we basically need filters because we want to reproduce the scene accurately. We're looking at a scene through our eye. We want to take a picture of it and reproduce it to the best of our ability. And that just doesn't work. Because our eyes are so sensitive, our eyes can compensate for differences in hue and color casts and things like that where the camera just can't. And before we went digital, this was especially true because you would take the shot, develop it either that day or a week later, and sometimes the scene just wouldn't look the same. And that's because, you know, the sun creates a certain color cast when you photograph in the sun. If you photograph under tungsten light, you have a warmish cast. If you photograph under fluorescent light, you have a greenish cast. Now, our eye is not going to notice this because our eye just does things automatically so that we could function flawlessly in this world. So even though we're looking at fluorescent light, you know, I'm taking a picture of someone under fluorescent light, before I take the picture, while I'm looking at that subject, he looks completely normal. But once we take it on film, let's just talk about film for now, stay away from digital. If we take it on film, we're going to notice that when we get those shots back, it's going to have a greenish cast, unless the photo lab has corrected for that greenish cast. But if it hasn't and it's automatic, it's going to come back greenish. Why? Because certain lights or types of light have a certain cast. Sunlight during sunset has a different color than at sunrise. Fluorescent light is green, like we said. Sodium lights are yellowish. All the different lights have different casts, and in order to record them faithfully, we need filters. So we're still talking traditionally, and before we had color film, we had black and white film. And let's just talk about filters with black and white film. What do the filters do with black and white film? Well, they tend to either exaggerate or repress certain tones that are being represented in your scene. And the rule of thumb is, if you're shooting a black and white photograph, but the actual objects in that scene are close in color to the filter, well, then those tones will be suppressed. If they are the opposite color of the filter, then they will be exaggerated. So for example, if we are taking pictures of red apples, and we use a red filter, well, those apples, once we have our picture printed, those apples are going to appear lighter than normal. If we're going to use the opposite color of red, which is cyan, which is slightly bluish, then those apples are going to appear darker as normal. So, rule of thumb, in black and white photography, if a filter is similar in tone to the subject, it lightens it. If it is the opposite in tone, it darkens it. And very quickly, again, without getting scientific, The light that we see with our eyes is made up of red light, it is made up of green light, and it is made up of blue light. Red, blue, and green make up the light that we see. And you can do a really simple test, and if you have the precise filters, the test will be flawless. If you take a red flashlight, a green flashlight, and a blue flashlight, those red, greens, and blue have to be photographic red, green, and blue. And you shine them all together such that all three of those rays of light intersect, you will notice that the resulting light, the combination of that light, is white. It is colorless. It sounds counterintuitive. It's not the way we think about colors in art, for instance, whereby if we add all the colors, we get black. No. In photography, it's the opposite. When we add the primary colors, we get white light. So the light that we see is made up of red, green, and blue. The opposite of red, green, and blue, speaking in photography, is yellow, magenta, and cyan. Yellow is the opposite of blue, magenta is the opposite of green, and cyan is the opposite of red. So again, back to our apple example. Shoot the apples in black and white photography with a red filter. Red apples with a red filter, they're going to appear light. Shoot it with the opposite color filter, which is cyan, and they're going to appear dark. And that's traditional black and white photography in a nutshell. There's a thousand things missing, but that's it in a nutshell. In terms of color photography, if you use a color filter on color film, the results are going to be a cast with that color. So for instance, slap a red filter in the front of your camera and your scene is going to be red. You're going to get it back from the lab and it's going to be all red. If you put a blue filter, it's going to be all blue, etc., etc. So when and why do we typically use filters in color photography? It's basically when we need the aspects of color conversion or color compensation with regard to a specific scene. So let's say again that we are photographing someone under fluorescent light using color film. Color film will record the fluorescent light as greenish. So what we need to do is we need to cancel out the greenish effect of the light. And what we do is we place a filter on our camera that has the effect of diminishing the fluorescent aspect of that light. Likewise, if you're shooting with tungsten light, which is light from, let's say, regular light bulbs, and you're shooting on regular daylight film, the resulting print is going to have a certain cast, and that cast is going to be overly warm, and you're going to need a filter to compensate for that color cast. Other uses where filters might be used would be when you want to warm up a scene or cool down a scene. At certain times of day, for instance, the light is really cool looking. And if you want to make your cool looking to film, not to your eye won't notice it, but the film will. So in order to warm up the scene, because you may not want it that cool, you would use a warming filter. If we wanted to use the opposite side and we're taking a photograph, let's say at sunset, and we find that it's just too warm because sunset light is typically warm, we could use a cooling filter and cool down the scene. And that would be really useful if that's the effect that we wanted. And in the briefest of nutshells, that's filtration for color photography, traditional color photography. And what if we're talking about digital photography? Well, in digital photography, it's a bit different because digital photography most often uses a graphics program like Photoshop or something similar in order to process the photo anyway. So we dump it from our camera and it generally needs to be tweaked, and you're going to use a program to do the tweaking. So the filtration is usually done in that program. It can still be done on camera, but more often than not, you're just going to do it in the program. So Photoshop, for instance, you can control all your casts and all your conversions and warming or cooling of the scene. You can do that absolutely already in Photoshop. In fact, it's quite easy, and it's one of the treats of doing digital photography and post-processing digitally is that you could do it in Photoshop. It's often easier to do it in camera directly. A lot of digital cameras, you have the ability to control the scene in the camera. So if, for instance, you're shooting under fluorescent light, which has a green cast, or you're shooting under cooler light, which will have a blue cast, If you know what you're shooting, you can set the white balance in camera, or you can control the scene in camera already so that when you see the result, when you click the screen, it'll more accurately match what you're seeing with your eyes. Again, the eyes won't see the cast, but your camera sensor will. It will record the cast if you're not compensating for it by either using a screw-on filter on the lens, even on a digital camera. You can do it, of course you can, or you can do it using settings in camera. Since all cameras are different, I'm not even going to attempt to talk about what filtration settings you're going to use or what white balance settings you're going to use in camera. White balance will totally be something for another podcast. It's a very important aspect. It does play into this, but you could control the white balance, and that is one very good way to do the filtration pre-processing, so before you bring it into a graphics program like Photoshop. And what if we're talking about black and white using digital photography? Well, when you're talking about black and white and you're using digital photography, generally it's still a color picture. Your camera will capture it as color, and then you can turn it into black and white. And you can turn it into black and white using many sophisticated systems and less sophisticated systems. But again, because you're going to turn it into black and white post-processing, meaning generally you're going to bring it into black and white in a graphics program such as Photoshop, you can use something like a channel mixer, or you can just turn it into black and white using any of the mode changes, and you can play with the filtration or color cast if there is any, or if you want to make tones lighter or darker using programs like Photoshop and other graphics programs. They're very sophisticated, and you can really see the effects of the different colors, because color is still color, and a light is still light, and light is still made out of red, green, and blue, and you can totally see how these red, green, and blue light sources work by adding more red or adding less red or more green or less blue. You can do that in channels using Photoshop. Again, it's beyond the scope of this podcast, but most people do that type of processing at the other end. Of course, if your camera allows you to have a black and white setting, please feel free to play in camera, but there's so many different varieties of camera and settings that can't really talk about each setting now. So take the shot in color, that way you'll have a color version anyway, and you can decide which one you like better and totally play with the black version, or the black and white version rather, in the graphics program. So in terms of filters that you could use regardless of camera, there are a couple that spring to mind right away. And perhaps one of the most important filters you're going to use is called the polarizer filter. And what a polarizer filter does is, without getting scientific again, it basically gets rid of reflections. And it basically makes skies and clouds darker. I can get into a whole other explanation of what it does, but at the end of the day, people tend to use it because it makes dull and dreary skies bluer and more intense. If there's clouds in the sky, it makes the clouds pop against the blue sky, makes the blue sky richer. It works in black and white photography and color photography, in digital photography and traditional photography. So it's a great filter to have, and you'll get a lot of bang for your buck. Just screw it on your camera. There's certain types of polarizers, linear and circular. You could just get a circular polarizer. They're really easy to use. And you basically turn the filter on the camera to get varying effects. And you gotta play a little bit, but you'll notice a big difference when you use a polarizer versus when you don't. Just take one shot with, one shot without, do it traditionally or do it digitally and totally see the effects right away. Weird and nasty reflections are so easily avoided, and those reflections can even happen off water, off metal, and they can even happen off of foliage. Foliage itself offers reflections and can affect the tones or the way tones are rendered in both color and black and white photography, and polarizers can help eliminate those type of reflections and give you a richer scene. Neutral density filters. And graduated neutral density filters. Ooh. Basically, what neutral density filters do are they kind of act as a shade or sunglasses for your camera. So when the scene is too bright for your camera, especially when you want to use your flash in combination with your camera, and there's a certain speed at which the flash syncs with your camera, a neutral density filter is another very useful filter to have, and it takes away brightness. A graduated neutral density filter is really, really useful in order to get great looking skies. So when you're looking through the camera, what very often happens to people, especially beginners, is they'll shoot a scene. If it's a landscape, for example, they'll shoot the sky, and the sky, it's really beautiful to their eye because their eye can record all the detail as we spoke about, but when they get the scene back or when they click the shutter, if it's digital, they'll see right away that the sky is pretty light. And if it's traditional, you'll get it back a week later and like, where's my nice sky? And what graduated neutral density filters do is they basically make the top sky darker going down to the horizon. So they basically darken up a sky where they leave the rest of your photograph intact. So the bottom of the neutral density filter might be clear or almost clear, but the top will be darker and you'll see it go from darker to lighter depending on the filter. They come in different colors, so you can warm it up too. The lightest part will be a certain color and the darkest part will be a darker version of that color or vice versa, but they give you great skies and you can use them for great effect. Soft focus filters. These filters take away sharpness. So if you're shooting, let's say, somebody's grandmother and they have a lot of wrinkles and your goal is to reduce the wrinkles or make the skin softer, you know, wedding photographers use these all the time. Those are great filters to use for black and white and color. Again, they'll soften up the skin texture. Great filter to use. And then, of course, you have other specialty type filters. When you're shooting infrared film, which is a completely different subject as well, but those are really dark red filters and those give you certain effects. Again, your eye can't see it, but the film can or the digital sensor can, so you're going to use a filter to get that effect. And in a nutshell, I guess that's our primer on filtration. I hope it wasn't too incomplete. I hope it did give enough substance to someone that is looking for information about filtration. Like I suggested at the beginning, the subject is so vast that it's hard to do this subject in like 15 or 20 minutes, but I wanted to give people a primer. Of course, there's going to be some extra resources in the show notes for people wanting to get even more information, but that's basically a primer. And because most of us are going digital now and photography traditionally with film is being left behind, really, more and more of the filtration by your average digital photographer is being done post-processing. You know, they may put the polarizer on their camera, they'll use neutral density filters or graduated neutral density filters. You know, they may occasionally use a warming filter, and all photographers are different. You'll have purists that say, you know what, just use it on the camera, don't bother with post-processing because the effects are so much better. It's been my experience that most photographers and most people looking at the film can't really tell the difference. So when it comes to digital photography, most of the filtration, except for, like I said before, polarization and other nifty filters to control contrast and things like the sky, those are being done at the end of the day in a Photoshop graphics program. And filters are becoming less important in quotation marks than they used to be, especially with regard to digital photography. So I hope you enjoyed that podcast. As always, please comment in any of the ways I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. You can subscribe for free via iTunes or any other podcatching software. And we have more interviews for you coming, more podcasts about lighting and other techniques coming up. Hope you do listen. Hope you shoot me a line. And in the meantime, keep on taking pictures, keep on shooting, and hope you all have a nice day. Bye for now and see you next time.